Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's talk to Saquon Barkley. What a player. And obviously the Eagles gearing up for another game versus the New York Giants. And Saquon gearing up for a big charity event that's going to be in town in about 2 weeks. We'll tell you all about that. And obviously the big news of the day with BG. Let's welcome the star tailback of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Saquon Barkley. Saquon, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, how you doing?
Oh, we're good, Saquon. We're awesome. We are excited, obviously, the news of the day. Before we get to that, though, let me announce to everyone that we here at WIP and Odyssey, that's our parent company, so proud, Saquon, to serve as media partners for your tremendous charity event coming up, the Saquon Barkley Inaugural Hurdles for Hope Gala. It's happening on Saturday, November the 1st, so it's two Saturdays from now, at the Philadelphia Art Museum. Special event. Saquon, I know this is incredibly near and dear to your heart. Not only is it your foundation, but you know, related to, of course, your late grandmother who passed away, Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation. And Saquon, I know you're always trying to help, you know, the youth, you know, in the area and families through programs that combine sports and academics. And tell us, if you can, about the event, the foundation, and congrats to you for putting all this together.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited. We're super excited, me and my family. One, to just, you know, show the city of Philadelphia what we're about and what we stand for. You know, ever since I got into the league, me and my mom, my dad, wanted to find ways that, you know, we can give back and have an impact in our community. And we started our foundation after my late grandmother. But just trying our best to raise money so we can have an impact in our community and make sure that, you know, we really focus on young students, the youth, especially, you know, ones who's underserved and underprivileged, and just kind of give them hope, give them opportunities that to know that they can accomplish anything that they want. And we're super excited for the event, and hopefully, you know, everyone that's coming have a great time, and you know, we can make some changes.
Well, that's awesome, Saquon. And by the way, for everyone listening, tickets are available. So again, this is happening two Saturdays from now, November 1st, Saturday, November 1st. Tickets are available right now at masbhopefoundation.com. So that's masbhopefoundation.com. And I know we've got stuff on WIP social media accounts where you can get direct links to the website, so I encourage people to check that out. Saquon, what is the night specifically going to be like for those that purchase tickets? What is it going to entail? You'll be there or some of your teammates there. What's this evening going to be like?
It's going to be a great evening. It's going to be great food. It's going to be fun. You know, the whole goal is to raise a lot of money to make an impact. But also want to have a great night. So it's going to be a great night for everyone that's attending. We're going to have a lot of great speakers. And most importantly, not only raising money, but just what I really hope is people really get to find out what I'm about, what my family is about, what our foundation is about, what we stand for, and you know what we're actually trying to do in our community.
Awesome. Good for you, Saquon. So, Saquon, let's talk about the team. And it looks like the team's probably going to get augmented by a player. So it's not official. Obviously, BG hasn't officially announced it, but that announcement's coming in the next couple of hours. So I'm going to give you a hypothetical because I don't want to put you in a position to confirm something that I'm sure you want, you know, Brandon to announce himself. If a player like, let's say, Brandon Graham, and a person like, let's say, Brandon Graham, were to rejoin your team, what would the impact be, as you see it, if Brandon were to come back and join the squad?
I love how you worded that question. If BG was to happen to come back to the Philadelphia Eagles, what do I think that would mean? I would think it would mean a lot. Just his presence, his leadership, you know, just the way he comes into the locker room, the way he comes into the building every single day, it goes throughout the whole building from the vets to the young guys. So if BG was to sign back, you know, I would definitely be happy. And if I happen to see him working really hard, I know he will be ready. And if, you know, there's a lot of ifs here, but mm-hmm. if he comes back, I think it will really help our team out a lot.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
Saquon, what is he like to be around from your standpoint? We've been around him a lot. I mean, we know Brandon well and really care deeply about him. As a person who's played next to hundreds, maybe thousands of players through your life, what is it like to have Brandon's energy and friendship in a building?
He's amazing, man. So I've had the pleasure to now be his teammate and go against him. When you're going against him, you kind of like probably think he's just, you know, just jerk because all he do is just talk crap throughout the whole game. But when you get to actually meet him, you know it just comes from a place of love, and he's just super competitive, and he just want to go out there and win. And I think that's why, you know, the city loves him. This is why the city of Philadelphia, he's adored here, because every single time he's out there, he's doing with a smile on his face. And he's going out there playing with his heart. And, you know, it's like I said, you can see it from the whole locker room. Everybody, when he's in here, when he was here last year, you know, if you got to look to a guy or look to a person you want to train, like if you're a young guy, BG is a perfect example.
That's really cool. Hey, do you have a favorite play? I had a play called Spider 2 Wide Banana where I was the first read in the flat. So, of course, as a fullback, it was my favorite play because yeah. I would catch the ball, and I might actually catch a touchdown pass. But do you have a favorite play, and why?
I get asked this question a lot, kind of like the theme of the week since I've been in the NFL. But obviously here, you know, coaches come to me and be like, "What's your favorite, you know, flavor of the week?
Sure.
What's your favorite run?" And I always say the one that's blocked up right. that's my favorite run. I feel like that. You know, some people get caught up into, you know, falling in love with duo, falling in love with Y zone, you know, with tosses. I train and I work to put myself in a position that any scheme, anything we need to run, I'm more than capable of.
Yeah.
So my favorite run is the run that's blocked up right. And then yeah. I literally laugh because you can ask any of my guys who ask me what's my favorite run, and I always say the same thing.
How many touches is your ideal number of touches in a game, depending on, you know, whether you're getting your favorite run or not? Do you have a feel for, like, man, I get going after 15. I feel unstoppable after 20. Or is it less defined than that?
Yeah, it's less defined than that. It's kind of like the feel of the game. You know, sometimes it could be one touch. Example, NFC Championship game last year. Sometimes you don't get going to the last 4 minutes in the game. Sure. It's all kind of what the defense presents you and how we're flowing and how we're meshing. But yeah, I've never had like a set number that I feel like is what I need to get going. The whole mindset and warm up is to prepare yourself for the game from start to finish. So you got to be ready from, you know, when the whistle goes off. But the flow of the game kind of dictates
you know, when it's time to take over.
Saquon with us here on WIP. Of course, a big-time charity event coming up on Saturday, November 1st, and tickets are available at masbhopefoundation.com. You can also go to WIP's various social media websites, social media accounts, and get connected directly to Saquon's website for this. Saquon, let's talk about the last time you guys played the Giants. Rough. I know you always go into a game motivated. I totally get it. Of course you do. But when a team whoops up on you like that and celebrates like that, does it provide a little extra something on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as you prepare for a Sunday game?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, we know we didn't put our best performance out there on Thursday, that Thursday night. And, you know, you got to give credit to them. You know, they came out and they executed better than us. They were the tougher team. And I've been trying my best to stay off socials, to be honest. So I didn't see all the, you know, the celebrations and everything, but I kind of heard about it. But you definitely keep that in the back of your mind. But that's the beauty of playing the NFL, especially playing the NFC East. It's guaranteed you're going to see a team twice, and we get that opportunity again.
So, Saquon, last year we were all obviously totally in awe of what you were accomplishing. And speaking of accomplishments, what Jalen did just 2 days ago on Sunday was unbelievable. What was it like to be out there and see him dialed up and dialed in, maybe at a level he had never been at in his whole life?
Yeah, it was great. It was great to be out there. You know, it helped us. I like winning football games, so whatever way it looks, I like. And he was dialed in and making plays from the pocket, outside the pocket. And, you know, AJ and Smitty and all those guys were making great plays too. It takes a team effort. So we know that we had a lot of success there, and it's something that we look forward to build on.
How difficult is pass protection?
People don't understand how hard pass pro is.
Oh.
For a back. but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have your opportunities where you get them one-on-one on defense, and it's like us running a route against them or being one-on-one in open field. There's so many things we can do. but now, you know, it switches on the
now
other
Now they
side.
Got you.
Now they got you. So it's a lot of times it's not about how strong you are, how much, you know, how much you can lift, how physical you are. A lot of it comes down to technique. And, you know, we have a great coach, Coach Singleton, who you know, harps on that every single week. And just being smart, you got to know who to block. Sometimes when you know who to block, you have more confidence of going up there and blocking them and executing.
There's so much that goes into it. Who to block, it's almost impossible to figure it out when they disguise it the way they do nowadays with all of these the zone blitzing, the way that they muddle up at the line of scrimmage. I do not envy you. I used to be told that Kevin Turner, John Gruden was my coach. He used to give me tapes of Kevin Turner and say, Kevin Turner never missed a blitz pickup. And I'm sitting there thinking, holy cow, I miss one every single game. Like, what is wrong with me? It is so hard. So I definitely feel your pain.
People don't realize that, like, we're extension of the pass pro. Like, just how involved in, you know, the center has to know the point and has to know, you know, the safety rotation. The same thing with the quarterback. We got to be involved in all that. And it's fun. It's fun. It's kind of like math a little bit when you break it down.
Totally.
But it can get confusing, but kind of just got to trust it. Trust the system. Trust the your read, trust your eyes, and trust the preparation you have.
Couple final minutes here with Saquon. Saquon, do you feel physically as good as you did last year? Obviously, the numbers have been down. The blocking, it hasn't been, you know, quite as effective. Do you feel as physically good to go as you did all through last year?
Yeah, I really do. I feel like I'm in a great spot. I try to be optimistic. I think that's, you know, the scary thing. We haven't really got the run game going at the level we would like, and we're 6-2. So we have so much more room to improve in so many areas, and especially in our run game. But the thing that I love the most is the 1-2 from the guys up front, the pride that they take into it. You know, sometimes it seems like they even have a little more pride in it than me. But when we're all aligned and when we all continue to have belief, just got to continue to trust it. You know, we know they're doing a lot of crazy things and muddying up. We know that's a focal point for defenses. But at the end of the day, I'm under the impression of I I know we can't bet, but I'll put my money on those guys up front every single week, and I'm going to continue to trust it. And I know we're going to figure it out, and when it do, things are going to get scary.
Good stuff. Again,
hey, Saquon, we're going to be 6-2 after we win that.
That's
Oh, dang, my fault.
No one in New York take that serious. He just had the wrong number in mind. That wasn't. Yeah. All right, hey, reminder to everyone listening, the big event with Saquon that you can attend is happening Saturday, November 1st. It is called Saquon's inaugural Hurdles for Hope Gala. It's going to be right here in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. How tremendous is that? And the event benefits the Michael Ann and Saquon Barkley Hope Foundation, named in honor of Saquon's grandmother who passed away a few years ago. The whole event and Saquon's entire charity initiative empowers youth and families through programs combining success in both sports and academics. This information is posted on our social media accounts where you can get a direct link to the website. But if you want to just type it right in, it's MASB. HopeFoundation.com to get tickets, and there are a limited number of tickets available. Saquon, good luck on Sunday and the rest of the season. If you see BG, please tell him that we say if he signs with the Eagles, we're super psyched. Thanks, Saquon.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for being part of this, too, also.
You got it, pal. Thanks, we're looking forward to it. There he is, Saquon.
What a mensch. Barclay. What a great human
what
he is, man. Unbelievable.
What a guy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Donovan McNabb's call-in brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Not only is Donovan McNabb one of the greatest athletes in Philadelphia history, not only, hold on, not only is the official quarterback of the WIP Afternoon Show, but now the official prognosticator, as we have seen and come to, we have seen the under center play action come to light. Joining us now, Donovan McNabb. Thank you for joining us once again, Donovan.
The Nostradamus has spoken. Yeah. I tried to tell y'all. but nobody really wanted to listen. It takes time, and nor are we there where we need to be. It was just a game. They played well. Obviously, people want to focus on the fact that, you know, A.J. Brown had four catches, 400-some yards. That's fine. It's still not where it needs to be, but it's a great sign.
Hell, we're not focusing on A.J. We're focusing on number one. Under center.
I don't know why you're focusing on number one. I mean, the whole thing is you knew what number one can give you.
Okay.
The whole thing is, again.
Talk that talk. Talk that talk.
I'm tired of everybody always focusing on the easy one to throw darts at. I mean, if you look at him statistically, he's putting up decent numbers and he's accurate and doing what he's supposed to do. It's about the play calling. I've seen a more aggressive attack by our play caller and being able to put guys in position. I told you, our best route runner is Devontae, which Devontae to me is our number one receiver, but we put everybody else in better positions so that we can push it downfield. I would love to see us be able to run the football more and also run the screen game with Saquon. I think that's the strength of his that people are overlooking. But I was pleased by what I seen with the ballot. I was pleased by what I seen by our quarterback having an opportunity just to relax and just play football. And I've seen explosive plays. It's a great start.
So let's start with the passing game, because from a passing standpoint, it was definitely one of Jalen's better games in his career. What did you see from him that he did particularly well yesterday that allowed them to be more effective passing the ball than they've been all year?
Well, I mean, you can't get too much better by having a perfect passing rating. So I was
sure.
Hold on. What you know about having a perfect passer rating? Oh, my bad. You did that too. My
a
bad.
Lot of, a seven. Lot of things that people overlook. Right? People overlook it a little bit. You know, the man had a perfect passing rating, so you might as well say that was his best performance of his career. But I seen him being efficient. I seen him going through his reads. I seen him realizing he had much more time than expected. That's why he sent A.J. Brown down to take it deep, which led to a touchdown. I've seen him balance in the pocket. Now, was the timing crisp? No, it wasn't, but it was better. And it also it gave pause to calls a little bit for their defensive coordinator, which he has been doing a great job over there in Minnesota. So to be able to attack him and Brian Flores, and also show him different things that I think he was questioning, it says a lot about our offense and the potential of what we can do.
So you mentioned the running game. Now, they ran it, but they still weren't running it particularly well, I think. So
Correct. Is
that
Correct.
when you're watching their lack of success running the game, is that a – We saw some changes schematically in the passing game yesterday. Are there things that you're seeing in what they're doing schematically in the run game that can help them?
I'm seeing that we're missing blocks.
Yes.
I'm seeing that our offensive line is not as aggressive and being on point with putting a body on the body. And so that's it's not Saquon losing a step or anything like that. It's just not the same. And so we can make any excuse when it comes to the run game. At the end of the day, we got to establish the line of scrimmage with the offensive line and get pushed in order to open up running lanes for our running back.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's going to get better. Because that's part of it, Five, is, you know, you actually have to have the ability to be a consistently good blocker. I know these guys are out there giving it their best, but I'm just wondering if a guy like Tyler Steen, and then you got some of our starters that are banged up, so you got guys going in there to play in their place if they're good enough this year. Now, I guess they can get better, but I just wonder how much better are they going to get in order to get the running game going.
I mean, it's the same scheme as it was last year.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And we can say that, you know, teams are trying to defend the run to force Jalen to throw the ball. That's what most defensive coordinators do. But at some point, it becomes an attitude. Running game is the attitude, and that's from the five guys up front. There's a mentality of knowing your keys and knowing your reads and who are you supposed to climb up to if you're coming up on a shade or you're blocking the three techniques of the linebacker. or you're pulling off to get to the number four defender, whatever it may be. It's not that Stoutland don't know how to coach the run game this year. It's not that our play caller hasn't been here to be able to, right, to call runs that we ran last year. It's the right attitude up front. I mean, let's call it how we see it. I mean, it's just like what we questioned about the passing game. It's somewhat of the same combinations and same reads that he had last year. It's just when they call the plays. And so now with the run game, when you call the run play, you got to block up who you got to block up.
Yeah, and got to do it well. I agree.
Yeah. Donovan, we actually saw a lot from Jalen, specifically in the first game, but at the beginning of the year and throughout his career, is the ability to keep the defense off balance by running the ball. He hasn't really done it at all over the last three or four games. Is that something you're seeing schematically that they're preventing him from doing? Is he injured? Like, is it a decision? When you're watching them play, are there opportunities you see for him to run and he's not doing it? Or why do you think he hasn't been as effective or even choosing to run the ball the way that he did at the beginning of the season?
Same question that I got asked in my, fourth or fifth year in the league. You're developing as a passer, and there's no reason to take off and run when you have blocking. You know, when you have the timing and being able to go through your reads and hit your check down, that's what a pocket passer does. Now, yeah, when you get some pressure and you got to move, he uses his legs the right way. But he's just not going to sit back and drop back and then take off. He's going through his reads, knowing he has time and being able to deliver the football. I mean, you got to give credit when credit is due. And I think a lot of times when you have mobile quarterbacks, fans just go get so used to you running the football. The first thing they say is, I wish he would just sit in the pocket and just throw. Now, all of a sudden, he's sitting in the pocket. The question comes up, well, when is he going to run? He just doesn't run anymore. It's being able to develop in an offense and be able to sit in the pocket knowing you have time and go through your reads correctly and get the ball to the open guy. Sometimes it may end up being an 8-yard completion to Dallas Goedert or possibly to Saquon. It might be a shot play like they had with AJ when he has time, send him downfield. It could be the deep ball that we connected on to Devontae. Now, that took some time. That wasn't something that was just five-step balls gone. He may have hitched two or three times to get it out there to Devontae.
But you would say, forgetting about running when there is pressure, you would say, though, that in the NFL, at least now, a lot of the top quarterbacks do run more often as a part of the offense. And when you do it, you do give the defense something else to think about. So,
correct. Like,
even if he is a better pocket passer, which we all wanted to see, his ability to run is an advantage if they do it. So I guess the question is more, Why is that not there? Is it a decision, or is the defense limiting him?
Well, I mean, they do run read option. And so when you run the read option, you read your keys. If it's number four at the end of the line, it could be number six, whatever it may be. Yet the read option with him and Saquon is still available. So he's going to run the football. But in the passing game, that's a lot different. Now, I mean, nobody says Matthew Stafford is a scrambling quarterback. He'll sit in the pocket, but he'll take off and go, which it may look bad, but he still takes off and go. If say we can't block number four, or somebody peels off of a blocker, whatever it may be, you utilize your athletic ability and your ability and awareness to be able to pick up as many yards as you can to keep the chains moving. I think the whole thing for Jalen at this particular point, he's understanding the concepts and what he's seeing. He's recognizing the front end coverage. Know when he's protected or when he's not protected. And you may not see him run as much. But believe me, when the time comes, he'll tuck it away and run.
Listen, he played a perfect game yesterday.
Absolutely.
Only the third time in franchise history, I believe, it was a perfect game. He joined yourself and Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I think it was the 7-touchdown game that he had a perfect quarterback rating. I was joking with you earlier. Do you remember which game it was that you had the perfect quarterback rating in? What game was that?
Absolutely not. You know, I got to pay attention to this stuff.
Hey, I couldn't
absolutely
even say.
Not. I thought you was joking at first.
No,
like,
you did it.
Perfect
no,
win?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Man,
so it was
07.
Yeah, it was September 23rd, 07, and you did have a nearly perfect game on October 11th, 09, where your quarterback rating was 157.2.
You did it in the Delaware-looking jerseys.
Oh, was it the Detroit game?
The Kevin Curtis game.
Yeah, the throwback jerseys, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst uniforms in franchise
really
history.
We loved
they were bad.
Yeah, the worst uniforms in franchise history, for sure.
I mean, hey, we didn't get a chance to wear Kelly Green. At least I didn't.
No, I know. And I didn't get a chance to wear that one, the yellow and blue ones. I missed that one.
Yeah, the Rams jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah, you was in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, well, I just retired. I retired that year, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
missed out
okay.
on the 75th yeah, anniversary so. Team, yeah, but I ain't bitter.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I'm, yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
2033 is not that far away.
I missed out on the 75th anniversary team, but I ain't better.
Well, a certain movie came out right around that time.
Hey, we still got love, baby. We still got love.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
I had to go up. I had to go up the road to Washington. They got me out of there, so you know that's a whole different story.
Donovan, it was a tough game to figure for the defense. Now they were tight in the red zone, only gave up a bunch of field goals, but gave up a lot of yards. What do you see from the defense yesterday?
I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. You know, I know Jalen Carter was back, and we can look at it in a sense that they gave up a lot of yards, but it's hot and it's the plays and how it happened. You know, we play against maybe a Rams team, and all of a sudden that's a different outcome. We play against teams that can move the ball and push it downfield with completions, you know, because really, to be honest, I mean, Carson missed a few guys that were open. And so I know we got some injuries in our secondary. I know it was a lot of mistakes, and I can kind of speak to that at the defense.
Yeah.
But just from watching it, there were just entirely too many mistakes. And just miss keys and miss reads on the defensive side that it could have been more explosive plays. But, you know, hey, it's a bend but don't break kind of a defense. And I've always kind of thought that Vic Fangio's defense was more of that because it's not so much about pressure and playing man. He's a zone coverage kind of a coach and it's kind of keep everything in front of you mentality to me, if you ask me.
So, Donovan, we've had a lot of, you know, this conversation's been very friendly, but at this point we have to ask you something difficult because I don't think of Donovan McNabb, you know, hot take artist or whatever. But when I saw you with Kay Adams last week saying that you thought Dak Prescott is the league MVP, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
He's playing well, but they're 3-3.
Okay.
And well, I mean, how is he the league MVP over Baker? Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are we going by the win? Are we going by the team that's winning the most? Or are we going by the one who's playing the best?
Who's playing better and winning more than Baker Mayfield at this point?
Okay, are we going by who had to bring them back at the end to win? Because I said Baker Mayfield was number two to me.
I know, number two, though.
Did you see Dak Prescott against the Commanders?
I did. He's playing great.
Okay.
He's playing great, but the MVP can't be on a 500 team.
Did you know that he hasn't had the same offensive line almost in every game that the combination in every game pretty much?
That's okay. Baker's been without his best receiver all year.
Yeah, but we can also say Azabuka is pretty good.
But they did it without him too. I'm just come on, man, Dak. They were 2-3 when you said it.
I understand you got your Philly underwear on. And
he's got his Tampa Bay underwear.
Yeah, I got my Baker underwear
that.
On.
But also, too, who I'm added into that, I added Sam Darnold and added Daniel Jones, mentioned him, and Jonathan Taylor. And then I said a dark horse right now that needs some love is Drake May. And so and to be honest with you, nobody cares about midseason grades. Everybody just focuses on at the end of the semester what that looks like. So, I mean, I just felt like Dak Prescott, a guy that everybody seems to want to talk bad about because they are the Cowboys, needs a little bit of love and attention because he has been playing great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's over with.
Still can't be 2-3 winning MVP. All right, Donovan. Appreciate you as always. Big game against the Giants on Sunday going into the bye. And an opportunity to get a little revenge going to the bye 6-2. So we look forward to talking to you next week at the same time. Thanks as always, Donovan.
That's my quarterback.
Yes, sir.
All right, Donovan.
All right, let's talk to Nick Sirianni. I bet you he's pro dog. Most people in society are. He's the head coach of the now 5-2 Philadelphia Eagles. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So, Nick, I got chastised by Chase Utley a couple years ago for being not 100% pro dog. Just not my thing, you know?
Not only is he not pro-dog, he's not pro-pet, coach. He doesn't
or dog mentality, apparently, in that case, you know?
I'm pro-dog. I got a dog.
Yes!
My guy, Nick.
Yes!
Welcome to you know, being a normal person.
Most people are. By the way, Nick, I'm pro-BG. I just want to put that out there to the world. So, look, nothing's official, and I certainly understand the nature of you can't confirm something that hasn't been announced. But I'll just ask this question this way. If he were to rejoin the team, and it certainly sounds like he has tremendous interest to, if Brandon Graham were to rejoin the Eagles, if he makes that decision and you guys make that decision to welcome him back, what types of things do you think Brandon, if he joins the Eagles, would bring to the table?
Well, you know, there's certain sayings that you always remember. I always remember my dad saying, and one of them was, hey, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And so we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Understood. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you this, Nick. When Brandon was with the Eagles, what did he bring to the team?
Yeah, obviously, great leader, great player, infectious personality. You know, you've heard me say it before, sure. Every team needs a Brandon Graham. So just brought so much to the table. And you know, and he's, you know, you guys like him and love him,
yeah,
because of that same infectious personality, and we feel the same way.
Nick, congrats on the win the other day. Obviously, it was a good one. It was a tight, tough one, and you guys pulled it out. We had a poll on our show yesterday, and the poll question was, after that win in Minnesota, do you think the Eagles are back on track? And 52% of people said yes, and 48% of people said no, which was an interesting result. You guys are 5-2. Congrats on that record and that win. Do you feel like the team is on track?
I feel like the team is just trying to continue to get better. And that's where we are right now, is that, you know, we have things to clean up, coaching, playing, all, you know, fundamentally, and we're just on the course of trying to get better. And in every scenario, try to find ways to win the game. We've done it 5 times. We haven't done it twice. So try to find ways to win games and find ways to win better, and then block out everything else. Really, it's just, and just be hyper, ultra focused on what we have to do. And then really, how do you get better? It's through the process. It's through the week of work. It's through blocking out noise. It's through blocking out any distractions that you have,
yeah,
and locking in solely on the job at hand.
Coach, was Jalen under center more against Minnesota because you wanted to break tendencies, or because Cam Jurgens was out and you had a backup center? Oh, and also, yeah, how likely is it that we could see Landon Dickerson move over to the center spot?
Yeah, good question to all those things. Obviously, you know, there are things that I know you guys respect that I can't, I don't kind of get into, just would hate to give any information to other teams or you know, future opponents or any scheme situations. Hey, we did what we did in that game, because that's what we thought that would help us win that football game. And you know, and we had some time, as you guys know, to review some things on offense and that mini bye. I love our bye process. You know, we're constantly working to make it the best it possibly can be. And we had ourselves a mini bye. We were able to go through a little bit of that process, and you saw some of the answers that we came to off of it. And so, you know, it worked really well in that game. You know, obviously Jalen, I've never been around a quarterback that's had a perfect quarterback rating throughout an entire game, which was awesome. You know, he played awesome. And, you know, but with that, excuse me, with that, it's a team game, and that's a team that's, you know, it's Jalen's quarterback rating, right? It's Jalen's quarterback rating, but it's such a team stat. Like, we had some great catches. You know, Smitty made some really good catches. AJ made great catches. Like, you know, the one across the middle, the Smitty, where he kind of gets hit by Harrison Smith. You know, he has another one that's kind of low and away. Jalen has to put it low and away from a defender on a drop back. You know, he makes that catch. The protection all day was unbelievable. So that's such a, you know, that's such a team stat. But Jalen, played really, really well. You know, one of his best games of, I think one of his best games that he's played as an Eagle. And there's a lot of good games that he's played as an Eagle. So what, it was a fun game.
What can you do to open up the run game?
I think that, you know, when you're able to hit some things like we were able to hit this week, you know, naturally that will, you know, it's like when a team brings a pressure and they get hit on a pressure, right? There's always that, there's a seed of doubt that goes into their mind, right? Of, hey, can we do this again and put ourselves out there? And I think that's what defensive coordinators are going to have to think. You know, we've obviously been very good, you know, the zero pressure at the end of game. That had to be on their mind of how good we've handled zero all year. And you know what? At the end of the game, they bring zero. Yeah. We hit a big one. And that's going to continue. You know, all the coaches in this league watch all the tape. They're going to see that, and it's going to be on their mind. Well, it's the same thing with some of the run blitzes and some of the run things that teams are doing that, you know, that we hit some big plays off of. And that's – you know, it's like that in pass blitzes. If you can't fit up the run in pass blitzes, then the run gets out of there on a third down. So all those things have an effect on the future opponents and different things that you do.
Nick Sirianni with us here today. Dave, of course, we've been talking a lot about Brandon. Looks like he's going to be rejoining the Eagles in a matter of minutes. Nick, he's obviously one of our favorites. N'Kobe Dean is another of our favorites. I mean, we just love him as a guy in addition to him, the player. To see him out there again, flying around, what did you think of his performance? And it must be special for you knowing the serious injury he went through to get him back.
Yeah, he's a great leader, tough, dependable, smart. I think that we all love players that are smart, dependable, and tough, right? That make plays. You know, those are guys, in my experience, end up reaching their, God willing, end up reaching their ceiling because of those intangibles that they have. And so it's good to have him back out there. And, you know, we've gotten a really good play from all our linebackers, you know, and it's really exciting to have Zach and Jihad and N'Kobe, you know, all getting time. You know, I know you guys asked me about that last week, obviously for competitive reasons. I kind of kept it. Maybe it wasn't you guys, but somebody asked me last week, are they all going to play? And then they all played. You know, it's good having them, those guys rolling. And then, you know, the contributions we get from our team, our linebackers on special teams with Trot and Smile. And so it's really been a really solid room led by a great coach with Bobby King. And, you know, but it is awesome to have N'Kobe back. Guys feed off his energy. He makes a play. Excuse me. He makes a play in, I think, the third quarter there where he kind of shoots a gap and he knocks the back running back back. And you just see the energy of the entire team of when he makes a play because of what he means to the entire team. And it's cool when you're able to see that and see that team, that togetherness, you know, show on tape after one of your teammates makes a big play.
So I was really impressed, Coach, with Quinyon Mitchell's performance considering his hamstring injury limitations. And I'm just looking at those, at him and Cooper DeJean across the way from him. Cooper DeJean, who was just a destroyer out there, like the soundest tackling cornerback I think I've ever seen.
Isn't he?
Do we have the toughest, I mean, like the toughest cornerbacks in the NFL? That matters so much more than people realize. And I think we have that right here. No one ever talks about that part.
Yeah, John, that's great insight by you. That's for sure. Like, because everyone, you know, these guys get, you know, receivers get paid to catch the football. No one talks about their blocking. Corners get paid to cover their other receivers. No one talks about their tackling. That's something actually that we just talked about in the team meeting yesterday. We always, you know, anytime after practice, anytime after a game, we're talking about tackling. Hey, you made this tackle, you missed this tackle. And I know we don't tackle live in practice, but you can see their approach. You can see how they go through it. And so, you know, what I've noticed and what I said yesterday, that is Quinion. It was the play that Patrick Johnson got held on the edge, and the ball ended up going back. Well, Q comes up and on this play and keeps the ball on his correct shoulder and kind of hamstring tackles the guy, lifts him up in the air, and that's like, man, you know what, Q? Yeah. Everyone's talking about your ability to cover, and we love that, and that's what we need you to do. But this does not go unnoticed of how you're tackling, and then it feels, you know, and Q's been having a bunch of those, and it feels like Coop has those every week.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's being physical in the run game. You know, he plays nickel. It's like another linebacker. So he plays so physical. He's different than all the nickels in the NFL. He's one of the top totally. Nickels in the NFL. And then he can go outside and play coverage on Justin Jefferson in a critical moment, you know?
And rip the ball from his hands in the end zone.
That's right. Now, hats off to Justin Jefferson, awesome receiver, really awesome.
Totally.
But, yeah, Coop made a great play. And, you know, those guys have a knack of making plays. I'm sure glad they're on our team.
Nick, I thought Makuba's tackle at, like, the two-yard line might have been the best of the game. I mean, that looked like an almost surefire touchdown, and he chopped that guy right down.
Yeah. Our guys are making tackles. I think we counted us for having – you know, four missed tackles in the game. Now those led to some big plays, and you want to eliminate those. But you know, our goal is to. I won't get into exactly what our goal is there, but you're going to miss a tackle. You know, you're going to miss tackles in a game. But we hit our goal on where we wanted to be in that game, because that's such a huge one. You see all these plays across the NFL, and like, man, that play was really good. And so many of them are like, well, the guy missed the tackle, and it went for a big one. So. We made some good tackles. Our guys work really hard at that. We do a lot of work in practice with circuit work on working tackles. And our guys, like I said, bust their butt to get better at the fundamentals, because we know the fundamentals are the things that lead to the big plays and the big play stops.
Nick Sirianni with us right now, as he is every Tuesday on our program. So, Nick, let's look ahead to the next game and in many ways the prep for it. So, clearly the Giants are an improved team with some of these rookies. I mean, they're making an impact. And I know they fell apart last week, but they're better than they had been. They did candidly whoop up on your squad 2 weeks ago, and I'm curious, philosophically, when a team does that and celebrates the way the Giants did, I mean, there were some backflips and all that stuff. Do you use that with the guys in the locker room for extra motivation as you prepare them to face the Giants so soon after that game?
It's a division game, and I guess the answer is sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like, it's like a division game. If you can't get up for this, like, come on, let's go. It's another opportunity to play football in the NFL. And not everybody handles that the same way. Like, every person on your team is different and what motivates and all these different things. So I think the answer is, like, if this something like this motivates you, use it. If it's something like this doesn't motivate you and it just distracts you from your process, you know, don't. And so, you know, maybe there's a comment here and there that we'll use, but that's how I feel about it. Because not everybody, you know, not everyone's like, oh man, they did this, we got to do this. And it's like, no, some guys have to focus on completely on the process to go out and kick somebody's butt. Some guys have to use motivation like that to go out there and kick somebody's butt. So everybody's a little bit different. So sometimes we use it, sometimes we don't. If it helps you, use it. If it distracts you, don't.
It helps me, Coach. I'll help you. Cam Scataboo looks like a troll, and I hate him. That's just I took care of it for you.
Yeah, say that to the team.
I'm not
Nick.
Going there.
I think we got a better shot of Nick commenting on Brandon than that.
A lot of respect for that team and what they've done.
Very much.
He's a good player. Nick, final thing. BJ, we'll talk to you about it more next week, but just know this. We're happy for you, all of you, for him, for the squad. And I think it's a great development, which you guys can confirm in time. But just know there's a lot of people really excited for you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right,
thanks,
Nick. Coach. Stay well. Good luck versus the Giants, Nick.
All right, now.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Sorry, I cleared my throat on the air there. Thought my mic was off. That's
very professional,
on me. It's Thursday at 4 o'clock. Always joined by the great Mike Mayock. You can hear him every week on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Mike, thank you for joining us once again.
My pleasure. You guys feeling a little better this week or what?
I think so. I feel a little better, sure. I mean, I wanted to do that for you, Mike.
Yep. You know, Mike, I'm still smarting from an argument I had with a fellow WIP host about an hour ago who thinks that professional athletes should be able to gamble on their own sports legally. What do you think about that opinion? He thinks they should be able to bet on their own props, bet on their own team. He thinks it wouldn't hurt at all.
It wasn't me, Mike. That's not my thoughts.
It wasn't him. I'm still angry from it is the only reason I ask you about it.
I mean, I don't understand how you can bet on your own props and your own team and when you control it. Control all of that.
That's what I tried to tell him. Yeah.
You're talking to a guy whose college roommate was involved in the Boston College point shaving scandal in 1979, which was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and one of my roommates was the point guard on that team.
No! Really? And they did the 30 for 30 on that.
They did the 30 for 30 on it. They did a it was part of the movie Goodfellas. They kept talking about that thing up in Boston. It was a big deal. And I got interviewed by the FBI. It was really significant. And to Jimmy's credit, my roommate, you know, he went state's evidence because he had nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And he's been fine the rest of his life. But, man, they put him through hell for a few years, man.
Wow, that's crazy.
I didn't know that was your roommate,
man.
Wow.
John Middleton was your guard in high school. That's crazy.
Yeah. You guys just thought I was this, you know, very analytic guy.
Yeah, a lot of layers.
Wow, yeah, it's a lot of layers. To
a lot
you,
of
brother.
Layers, Mike. Well, on to football, though. I think we could do a whole other segment, a different day on that, on the history of Mike Mayock. So let me ask you this: Sunday's game against the Vikings. Where does that rank in terms of the best that you've ever seen Jalen Hurts pass the ball?
I thought it was a really good game for him. I think the Super Bowl was a really good game for him. Actually, aside from a bad fumble in the first Super Bowl, I thought that was another good game for him. So I thought the two Super Bowls were outstanding, and this past week was really good. And I think the difference with me, and it's not good talk radio, but the way I look at this, and it's boring, is it's a process. And to me, 2 weeks ago, the sky was not falling. I was frustrated. It didn't look good. And to be honest, today, it's just a little bit better. It's
right.
Not, you know, it's not fixed. The pass game's not fixed. The run game's not fixed. But it's getting a little bit better. And that's kind of, and maybe, I don't know if Ike believes the same thing as far, it's kind of what, when you're a player, that's what you believe in. Over time, people get healthy, you get the right people in the right places with good coaching, and ultimately it starts to work at a certain point. And that's what I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing about, because, you know, Mike, that's what we are taught as players is, pardon the term, trust the process. And it's the work you put in each week. And if you're getting a little bit better each week, the thing is going to look the way you want it to look eventually. It's just a matter of how quick do you get through that process and reach the potential that the coaches have set out for you. So, yeah, that's why I always think the teams that have the good leadership with players that don't stray or deviate from this and get frustrated and, I don't know, the team starts splintering, those are the teams that can overcome that stuff. I like Andy Reid, for example, you know, out in Kansas City. Didn't look good the first couple of weeks. Did not look good. Now they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Three, 4 weeks ago, Mike, everybody said the Chiefs dynasty was dead, it's over with, and it's done. Now they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and people were saying, you know, how can Joe Flacco go to Cincinnati and light it up a couple weeks like he did after a week of practice? How come the Eagles can't? And I'm just sitting there going, yeah, Joe's 100 years old. He's been doing it for 40 years. He's got two of the best receivers in the planet, and it's kind of plug and play. It's a whole different conversation than what's going on here. But anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, Spike, you asked one question. I apologize.
No. It's a good conversation because what ends up happening is, you know, if on the debate on the quarterback itself, it goes one of two ways. If he plays bad, then the people who don't think he's good say, see, I told you, there it is. And if he plays good, then the people who think he's good go, see, I told you, there it is. And the truth is, and I think this is what you're saying, is that all of those things are all part of the evaluation. And not one of them can't be more important than the other. It's what ends up being, what ends up happening more consistently is really where we are.
And there's an overall body of work, mm-hmm. okay? And you guys remember this summer, a lot of people were arguing that a report came out where Jalen Hurts ranked in the pantheon of quarterbacks. And I think that report had him 9. And all the Philly talk shows were going crazy. How could he be 9? He just won a Super Bowl. He's 1, he's 4, he's 3, he's 5, he's whatever. And now the same people are saying, oh, he's awful. And I kind of sit back and go, to me, I look at his body of work since he got in the league, what happens each day, each week, each year. And the way I look at him has not changed since back in August. And that is that there are 4 franchise quarterbacks in this league. 2 of them are currently hurt. And there's a group of quarterbacks from like 5 to 12 or 13 where you can win a Super Bowl with those guys. And by the way, Jalen won one, as did Matthew Stafford, who's another one I have in that group, 5 to 13. So they're really good players. They're just not franchise guys that can throw you on their back and take you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and depending on how they're playing, if you're going to rank them, it's going to depend on the
sliding scale.
Yeah.
My scale doesn't change a whole lot week to week. It's just kind of what's he dealing with? Why is he dealing with it? When does he make a bad decision? How often does he make bad decisions? And to be honest with you, you know, this past weekend, the coaches did some things I thought to help him out. And you know, you guys have been asking about coaching. And,
yeah.
And to me, you know, here's a couple things that caught my eye, and I went in and did the tape. And,
sure.
You know, 26 called passes, okay? 4 of the called passes were under, they came out under center. And of those 4, they had +2, a 79-yard touchdown, an 18-yard completion, and a 21-yard completion. So 3 of the 4 were chunk plays under center. And by the way, 2 of the 3, they had 6 offensive linemen. Mm. So just in that group of 4 plays, we saw 2 things we haven't seen much of before. And that sixth offensive lineman took a lot of sting out of the Brian Flores five- and six-man pass rush. And I think because of that, Jalen had more confidence. And I thought he hung in the pocket longer. You saw him hit a couple late digs over the middle to Smitty. You know, some stuff that because he hung in and trusted the pocket. And the other thing I really liked about Jalen is that when he broke the pocket, instead of just looking to run for a first down or get out of bounds, he converted two huge third downs by keeping his eyes up as he left the pocket. They had a third and, I want to say, 15 and picked up 27. And they had a third and 13 where A.J. came back to the ball on the sideline and they picked up 13. And why that was important is two plays later is the A.J. Brown touchdown on the seam route.
Yep.
So, to me, all this stuff is interconnected, right? The 27-yard A.J. Brown seam route doesn't happen if they don't get the scramble rules first down on third and 13. So there's a lot of little good things I liked about this game, and part of it is that the coaches helped them get there.
Let me ask you something about the six offensive linemen, because I think Buffalo does that a bunch too. So we don't have Dallas Goedert aside, the other tight ends not particularly good at blocking. I wouldn't say. What is the negative to having six offensive linemen? Like, if I don't, why haven't they done? What would be the drawback to doing that?
Well, there is the drawback you semi alluded to, which is the fact that for the most part, even though he reports as eligible, depending on the situation, he's really not going to be out there running routes.
Right. So you have fewer people out there running routes.
Yeah, you're potentially losing a guy in the route. But what I really like about it, and it's something that my dad, the coach, used to laugh about for years when people talked about quarterbacks in the NFL getting hurt. He was like, just keep more people in pass protection. It's pretty friggin' simple, right? And that's what the Eagles did this weekend. They said, you know what? And it wasn't just in pass protection. Obviously, it was in the run game. They got under center. They had 10 snaps where they had six offensive linemen, and they only had 50 offensive snaps. So 20% of the time, they're in 6-0 linemen. And again, it wasn't like obviously the run game wasn't good. So it wasn't like all of a sudden it changed everything in the run game, but it did change some things, and it does give them some other options, both in pass protection and in the downhill run game.
Yeah, I think, Mike, initially after the game, everyone's excited about the win. No one wants to go through three straight losses. My goodness, yeah, we didn't want to deal with that. But it sounds like while you were certainly encouraged by some of the things they did, there's still some things that need to be cleaned up, and there's still a ways to go before they're where they should be as a legitimate Super Bowl, like playing as a Super Bowl team. Am I reading you right on that? You feel like there's still some things that need to be done?
Oh, 100%. And you know, it's every week I've watched this tape, and again, I've been harping on the O-line since day one, and you know, the left guard's not moving like he did a year ago, whether he's in the lineup or not. Mm-hmm. That interior offensive line, the center and three guards, I mean, Brett Toth played 70% of the snaps at two positions last week. You know, they're kind of musical chairs inside right now. Mylatta had another, I don't even know if it was an average game by his standard. I think it was still below average, and Lane Johnson played well. So, you know, when you add it all up, they're still struggling a little bit. Hence, the coaches coming in with the 6-0 linemen and giving them a little temporary help. And it'll be interesting to see this week, you know, what they do or don't do with the Giants. But again, I thought it gave them a pop, especially with Jalen having some additional confidence in the pocket.
Well, you mentioned the Giants. If they do anything well defensively, it's that front, right? So if there's a team that you want to think about again, giving yourself some extra protection to give your quarterback a little bit extra time, I think this week wouldn't be a bad week to try it again.
Yeah, and, you know, inside, Sexy Dexy is a monster, and they've got three or four edge guys that are legit. So I really do believe that right now, as you're trying to get better and trying to bring your offensive line along with all the injuries, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that sixth offensive lineman, especially when you pair them in the run game so that they can 100% say they know what's coming.
Yeah, just before we let you go, talking about the Giants, what do you think of Jackson Dart?
Been highly impressed with him. And I mentioned last time kind of a comparison to Bo Nix, and I see it even more. Both really athletic, not dynamic, but athletic. Both those quarterbacks hurt the Eagles badly with their legs, mostly with scrambles, but occasionally a planned quarterback run. Neither of them lack for confidence. They'll push the ball down the field. They're tough kids. I really like the way Dart has played. Obviously, they imploded last week for a lot of different reasons, and that's what bad teams do. They implode, but it's incumbent upon the Eagles to put enough pressure on them to get them to implode.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I said, man, you lose that game. It just that kind of a loss has a stink on it of a bad team on a number of levels, even though there's some good players there. Giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter, especially when Dart goes and leads him to that touchdown right before to put him, you know, in
that
the
should have been the game winner.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're a Giants fan, there's some things to be positive about with him and Scataboo and some of the young guys, the pass rush, but they still have a long way to go.
Yeah. All right, Mike, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again same time next week.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
There he is, the great Mike Mayock. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which means we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, what's up? How you feeling, brother?
I feel awesome, to be honest with you, Spike. I'm in a good spot here, bro.
What are we missing?
Yeah, where are you at? I'm
my house in Florida here. I'm on the beach, man. It's a great spot here. I mean, I feel like I'm on vacation.
Oh, it's in the 50s here. That's nice.
You are the ultimate. If I were to look up "work hard, play hard" in the dictionary, that is
bald. Is there any other way?
What? No,
I mean, I don't know of any other way.
Well, I wish.
I mean, listen. I mean, Spike, I love what I do, but I mean, you can always talk about breaking down cover two or the run game so much. I mean, you got to kind of balance it out a little bit.
Yeah. I just go to the movies by myself. That is the I feel like I got to do the play hard school from Baldy so I can learn how to do that at some point.
Come tag along one weekend.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You have fun.
All right, Baldy. Sunday against the Vikings. Was that the best you've seen Jalen Hurts throw the ball?
I mean, they took a little nap, you know, for 25 minutes after the opening score touchdown, you know. It was like a long nap. But, you know, once they woke up from the nap and, you know, they hit Devontae, you know, with the long bomb, I mean, it looked really good. And, he throws a good deep ball. He's always thrown a good deep ball. He gives his guys a chance, let him run underneath it. And, that's a pretty good defense that they did it against. And, you know, just talking to some of the guys, and I was there, I mean, that's a tough place to play. It gets loud. They got their decimeter thing going. I mean, it's hard to hear, but it was a good performance. They needed that.
So what exactly were they doing that allowed it to work so well? Was it just him throwing the ball where it should be, or what do you think added up to the success throwing it?
You know, they've been trying to get Jalen to, you know, go under center and get out of shotgun and do what a lot of these other offenses are doing, a play action pass. And, you know, the throw to Devontae was a max protection speedo route, you know, and he just ran right by the corner. But he had a seven-step drop. So play-action passes under center was a big deal. I mean, Petula was telling me about it before the game, and Saquon was, you know, 7-8 yards deep. And, you know, they thought it would really open up the offense, and it did. And I think you'll see a lot more of it. But that was the real catalyst for it. They had really, you know, they had talked about it, that it's in the offense, but it wasn't something that Jalen is the most comfortable doing, turning his back to the defense. He likes kind of seeing the whole thing, but it really works, and I think you'll see more of it, you know, as we go forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last couple of games, it seems like the explosive plays are at least starting to show up on film. I know he missed a couple. The one in the Giants game, he and AJ, whatever that was, in the Denver Broncos game. But last week, he seemed to hit on just about everything. I get the question, Baldy, the last couple of days about believing that they've turned a corner or not. So, in other words, is this just a one-game thing, or have you seen enough there that you believe they've turned a corner in the passing game, that this is not 382 yards or whatever it was and a perfect QB rating, but at least the passing game can be effective moving forward. You think they turn that corner with it?
Well, I'd like to turn the corner. I got to see, you know, Saquon have a day. You know, I've seen all these other backs have a day in this league. I haven't seen Saquon have one yet.
Okay.
I've seen rookies do it. I've seen Quinshon Judkins have a day. I haven't seen Saquon have a day yet. And to me, they're not going to turn the corner. I know a lot of guys in the organization are thrilled that Jalen had that type of passing day. They pay a franchise fee for a quarterback. They want to see those kind of numbers. You know, you're not going to do it every week, but they want to see that.
Yeah.
But to me, like, they're not going to turn the corner until they start getting this running game cranked up. And I feel like they've got a lot of work to do yet in that. Mm. And I think, there's some runs that they haven't done yet, Ike, that they can do. They got the two most athletic tackles in the league. It'd be good to see them running some toss crack and getting those guys out in the perimeter,
yeah,
the way a lot of other teams are doing it. And so I think there's still a big jump to be taken in the run game. But I think then when you could marry both of them, then I could tell you that, and they're both working together, then I think we could say that they've turned a corner.
Is that effective passing going to help that run game from happening? Because it's very hard for us to figure out why the run game isn't working, whether it's offensive line play, whether it's Saquon, all that stuff. Do you think this is sort of gives them the recipe to get that on track?
Well, I think it's there if they want to do it. Like, I'm not sure if they're fully committed to it, to be honest with you. I know last year it won them a Super Bowl. They seem to be a little reticent to really commit to it. I mean, when Saquon gets the ball against Denver one time in the fourth quarter in a tight game, are they really committed to the run game? I feel like, there's a little bit of a split. You know, do we want to be a better passing team or running? Like, I think it's got to all go together. A lot of these teams right now are just playing, like we saw week one against the Cowboys. You're seeing it around the league. They're just sitting in these umbrella defenses and trying to keep everything in front of them. But if you start getting your shots down the field like that, or if you start running the ball effectively, you can run them out of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think then you can really dictate what defenses are doing and how you can manipulate that. And I don't think, they've really begun to dictate what defenses are doing yet.
From a defensive standpoint, look, they end up with a couple of takeaways. But Minnesota, if Carson Wentz doesn't make a couple of the errors that he makes, the game might look a little bit differently. Defensively, what are you seeing? The Eagles have been outgained every game this season, and that's not just on the offense, it's on the defense too. Are you seeing any signs of life from the pass rush? You had mentioned Jalen Carter last week.
N'Kobe's back.
N'Kobe back too, yeah. From the defense, what did you see on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think there's a reason why Brandon Graham is, back in uniform.
Yeah.
The pass rush, they have not had a great pass rush from any of the guys, and Jalen showed up last week. I know he's affected with, some shoulder problems and whatnot, but he showed up a little bit last week. But they really haven't had much heat off the edge. They put, Jihad out there last week. And, N'Kobe made a big difference, like, to your point. Like, he just looked like he was wanting to go smash somebody, and he did a couple of times. So that was good. Honestly, Minnesota, you snap the ball over the quarterback's head, you lose 20 yards, you have the ball in Justin Jefferson's hands for a touchdown, they end up setting for a field goal. Great job by Cooper DeJean to get it out. They had plenty of opportunities to either win that game or, at least, make that thing a one-possession game, and they just couldn't make the play. Carson, and one throw was basically a punt, but, he missed every deep shot he had, where he had a chance. I mean, they have big problems at corner. And it's been going on all year. And getting Quinion back healthy makes a difference. But the other corner, I think this trade deadline, you're going to see even more players coming in right now to try and kind of repair this thing. Because teams are going after the other corner relentlessly. And if they could have completed some deep shots last week, maybe we're talking about a three-game loss right now.
So, you mentioned corner, and we were talking about pass rush. If, let's say, going into the trade deadline, we all hope for both. If you could add an edge or add a corner, what do you think helps the Eagles' defense more?
Good question, Spike. If I could only take one, if it was a really good, if you say, I don't think this is going to happen, but if, Trey Hendrickson became available for some reason, I would take the end. But if you could shake a corner loose someplace, somebody that can really play, I don't know why you know, in this league. I don't know why anybody would unload a good one, but I'd take the corner right now, the way that they're going after, you know, the guy's not named Quinion right now.
So we have the Giants on Sunday, who kicked the Eagles' ass a couple weeks ago. They're certainly more energized. It just doesn't, to me, looking ahead to this game, if the Eagles are playing the way they should, this should not, the Giants aren't a team that should beat the Eagles. What are you seeing right now from the Giants, and is there any reason to be concerned is the wrong word, but as long as they show up and play the way that they should beat that team on Sunday, right?
I think so. I mean, they have a better roster than the Giants, but Jackson Dart's playing great.
Yep.
You know, he put up five, you know, helped him get to five touchdowns against the Eagles. You know, he had, you know, they were in the 30s last week against Denver, in Denver. He has a unique ability with only four starts to just maneuver a pocket that is flush with pass rushers or blitzers, and he doesn't sack himself. He keeps plays alive. And so you really got to plaster your receivers because they don't have a great receiver in the roster, but he'll find the open receiver if they shake loose. And he creates a lot of loose plays, and he's a very good runner, and he's fearless. He's not going to hold the ball. And, he's going to make the throws. I mean, it might be tight window throws, but he has no fear of pulling the trigger. So he does concern me. And then, you know, Brian Burns is playing great right now for the Giants. They're not a great defense at all, but they do have some playmakers on that defense. And so, you know, you want to see the Eagles kind of go after some of these corners that are out there that are, I don't know, I think they're just average players out there.
Yeah. Brian, Baldy, you brought up BG for a quick second there earlier. Just want to get your thoughts on BG coming back and, you know, what do you think he can, I guess, give this defensive line and the locker room, like, what do you think about BG coming back?
Well, I mean, everybody loves BG. I mean, there's, you know, he doesn't have one hater in the whole world. So, like, him walking the locker room is going to be a big deal, you know, because he's just got that leadership and smile and, you know, that personality. I just, you know, like, what kind of football shape could he be in? I mean, I'm sure he's been lifting weights and, you know, he's got some conditioning, but, you know, football is a sport that, you know, he needs some calluses out there. Like, can he just put the uniform on and, you know, become Superman on Sunday? Like, you know, I mean, that Andrew Thomas is playing great football at left tackle for him. The right tackle is a little questionable right now. But, you know, they need somebody that can win a one-on-one out there right now.
Yeah.
That can put some heat on without blitzing right now. Like, so, I hope that he's in good shape and he's not going to be one of these guys that's been out of football for 9 months and he goes out there and he does something, you know, to harm his body at this point. He tore his tricep a couple times last year. He, you know, recovered fast enough to get back out there. But, you know, I don't want to see him force himself into the situation just because they need him. I'm kind of curious how they're going to use him if he does play this weekend.
All right, Baldy. Thank you as always, man. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next time, same place, same time.
Florida, huh? Right.
Yeah, enjoy that. Love Florida. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Baldy.
Okay, guys. Yep.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.